goodness, you're listening to Garden Planet with Selena, Karen, and Terry. Today we are going to have a potluck of a Garden Planet show. We're still in our lockdown period, and that means we can't all be in the studio together. So Karen's going to come to you from her garden bubble and take you around her garden. And then we're going to have our plant of the week. And then Terry is going to share with us all about gardening with pots. And I'll add a bit of my thoughts to that as well. So let's get into it. Take it away, Karen.
Hi, guys, and welcome back to Karen's Garden Ramble. I'm going to continue on where I left off. I left off on the deck. And if you recall, I was talking about our sunflower drama. Moving on from that, to the left of that, I have been doing quite a lot of planting out, with it being autumn, 'tis the time and all. And generally what I've found myself doing of late is potting out a whole bunch of different seeds. And then if I don't label it, I generally forget what I've put in there, but it all comes up at once, and in my big pot it would be about 2 feet by 2 feet, and it's quite flat. I can see sweet peas coming up, I've got parsnips going down and the leaves coming up, I've got spring onions in there, and it's all quite concentrated. They're quite high density there. So when it all starts flowering and coming up, it looks quite spectacular. So I'll keep you posted on that one. I have my seedlings that I talked about earlier are all starting to really take off now. And they are getting, within a couple of weeks, they'll be close to transplanting into the vegetable crop. But what I have done with them is thin them out quite a bit, because I scattered the seeds quite close together, so they needed thinning out first. Also, what I've been up to out on the deck is down at the community garden, we're requiring some sage, some more sage. Our sage plant was one of the victims of the Roundup incident that I mentioned during the summer on our show. Bit of sabotage happening there down at the community garden, bit of a shame. But anyway, what I've done is I had a huge sage bush, well, not huge, medium sized, but it was getting really, really dense and thick. So I just hacked it in half basically, and have taken lots of stalks off it. There's some with roots, and just stuck them in a pot, and there's probably about 6 there, and I'm hoping at least one should take. I'm sure more than that will, but again, I will keep you posted on that one. Moving away from the deck area, my grapevine has now lost all its leaves, which is a quiet relief, because I was getting a bit fed up having to pick them up every day, and it's completely barren now, and which is great because it's allowing more light through onto my deck area, and it's just going through its winter phase now. Bit of hibernation there. Throughout my garden, I noticed my citrus was that some of the leaves were turning yellow at the ends, the more established leaves, not the newer ones. And that is a sign that it needs more nutrients. So in particular, magnesium, well, that's one theory. So as a result, I not only threw magnesium crystals, magnesium sulfate crystals on my citrus plants, but I decided, what the heck, and doused all of my garden with magnesium. It never complains. So that's good. And the rain that we've just had has washed all those crystals into the ground now, so that should start taking action now. During the lockdown period, I'm just over by my
what was a well-established passion fruit, my lovely neighbours decided to put their saw over the fence and hack it completely off. I mean, not just a slight neighbourly friendly trim, they killed it. Devastating. I have no words really for that. I didn't even ask. I just, let's not go there. We'll be here all day talking about them. But I decided I'm not going to mope around and complain about it. And God willing, you would not believe I had in my front tropical garden area about three that I've counted so far, passion fruit that have self-seeded from where I had a passion fruit vine years ago. They just keep coming. So that was a godsend, and I have planted two of them well away from that neighbour's fence, and they seem to be doing really well. It's not normally the time I would have thought to have transplanted or put in a new passion fruit seedling in the ground, but it was just looking so healthy. All of them were, actually, and I just thought, you know what, I've got nothing to lose. I didn't really want them where they were anyway. Again, I'll keep you posted on that one. So far, so good. Fingers crossed on the passion fruit front. Guys, we're already at the 6-minute mark. I promised Selena I wouldn't go over. I'm going to have to leave it there. We may even have to do a part 3 garden ramble. Thanks for checking in, and I'll let you know how things are progressing. Shush, Goldie. That's my chicken over there. I'll let you know how things are progressing, hopefully in the future soon. Bye.
Now it's time for our plant of the week.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. You'd spend about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told. Quote, I'm a lonely little petunia and an onion patch.
An onion patch.
Yes, an onion.
Now, our plant of the week has been popping up in my garden in various places, and it is very prolific, and it is called Asclepias physocarpa. That's its Latin name. Asclepias meaning healing, and physo meaning bladder, carpa meaning fruit. So a healing bladder fruit. But if you have never heard of that name before, it goes by the common name of swan plant. But I really think it should be called the butterfly plant, because it is the main source of food for our lovely monarch butterflies. Another name for this plant is milkweed. If you happen to bruise one of the leaves, you'll notice a milky sap come out. You do not drink this plant for its milk, because it wouldn't taste very nice. But the caterpillars love it. The caterpillars are those yellow and black ones, and the birds do avoid these caterpillars because they don't taste very nice to them either. But lovely, and luckily for us, they leave them alone, so we get these lovely yellow and orange monarch butterflies come spring. Now, the swan plant grows mostly 1 meter to up to 2 meters. It's more of a tree-like shrub or shrub-like tree than a low-growing perennial. Although it is classified as perennial, it can get woody, but it mostly won't last for a couple of seasons, as it was easily self-seed. Now, the best feature of this plant, apart from the butterflies that will come from this, is the little seed pods that, as you can tell from the name, may look like bladders to you. When you open them up, inside are the fluffy seeds, or they have seeds, and they're attached to some fluffy things like dandelions are. And when the wind blows, they'll blow all over your garden, and so you'll see seedlings come up everywhere that it lands. Now, if you don't want too many of this plant in your garden, they're easy to weed out. But I would leave quite a few there to grow on to be food for the butterflies, or the caterpillars, sorry. You can also use the seed pods as decorations. If you dry them, they make lovely, interesting feature for your floral arrangements. Now, they're all coming up in my garden, so if you want to transplant them, pop them up, give them to your gardeners, your neighbours who don't have a swan plant, that might be a good idea at the moment. And then they'll get to appreciate more one-up butterflies come spring too. Very easy to grow. They don't require much. As one of the names suggests, it can be a little weedy, maybe because it's just so prolific with the seeds, that they can grow almost anywhere. Just need a little bit of sun, and they happily grow amongst other plants. They don't compete too much. You can easily pull them out where you don't want them. So, yeah, that is our swan plant, our plant of the week. Enjoy. Now, here's Terry. She's been going a bit potty in her garden thanks to lockdown. So let's hear what Terry has to say. Take it away, Terry.
Good afternoon, Selena. And all of you who are gardening or dreaming of gardening under this Rahui. I saw a lovely meme online of our beautiful planet from space with a sign angled across it saying, closed for repairs. And so we are, hopefully making repairs, renewing and healing our ecosystems, including our frazzled and hard-working selves. Happily, such a time doesn't greatly inhibit the kind of gardening we can do. While gardeners old and new are finding inventive ways to get vegetables sprouting and others are getting online shopping and delivery, I've been thinking about pots. I'm not much of a veggie gardener but find many fascinating plants and receive all sorts of plant gifts from other earthlings. Often they need potting on for some time while I run auditions for survival on a tricky site. Some of them make it into the ground but others live on in pots and get repotted and moved around the garden, onto the deck or the steps, around the margins, and in transition zones. It's usually down to the light, the warmth, the shelter, rather than the soil, which you can more easily determine. So just where is the right spot for this pot? Sometimes that means you have to find the right pot. The delicious search for just the right pot. They don't have to be expensive because there are so many containers around. Check the recycle area at your local refuse station. But whether it's an old watering can or a wooden beer box with a coat of paint or a work of great craft or art, it will be fun finding it. So pots give us a chance to put, you know, like bits of jewellery on our gardens or outdoor sitting places. They may be cute or creative, but pots, like pets, do need maintaining. With pots, watering is a big deal. It's something Auckland gardeners have had to think about this summer. The city is in drought and pots are very demanding of regular watering. Fortunately, I have a small tank for hand watering, but hosing for large pots has been necessary this year. For some, pots are the only realistic gardening they can do in a small unit or a balcony or group house settings. Think of the wonderful window boxes around the world with their geraniums or their herbs. Pots are up close and personal, as no doubt indoor pot gardeners know. Some of the indoor ones require commitment to get them, you know, just so. But I'm loving the Maranta group as being easy to maintain indoors and durable. I have one prayer plant that is 35 years old, another that's kind of two for one, a Calathea Marantaceae with a fern leaf pattern printed onto its own colourful leaf. Google images of the Maranta, M-A-R-A, NTA plant family, Maranta plant family, and check out the wonderful array of foliage they make. But back to pots. There are thousands of plastic ones coming through our garden centres and no reliable way of disposing of them. So if you can reuse or reconfigure existing plastic pots, it's a small mercy. But wouldn't it be great in the post-COVID Aotearoa that we could get out the number 8 wire and conjure up an earth-based pot system that could endure the commercial rigours of grower to garden centre and then go on to customers to be planted directly in the ground? What are we doing with all those wilding pines anyway? Meanwhile, the best we can do is reuse and upcycle all those plastic pots, bringing on your own seedlings and the fragile ones, or upcycling the more robust ones into garden pots of note. You can make clusters of plants in pots amidst other plants in the ground, or make succulent colonies about the place, or build small humps to get one of your more carefully nurtured feature plants into a place of prominence in the garden. The pots themselves can be a colourful addition to a foliage garden. They are portable. You can play and design with pots. Pots are something that you can do right here, right now, and savour at your leisure.
Well, thanks, Terry. So much to do with pots that just feel like pottering around now. For me personally, when I think about gardening in pots, I don't actually do too much gardening in pots. Only reason being is I think my plants prefer to be in the ground, and some pots are really expensive to buy and quite heavy, and so I've only got a minimum of plants in pots that like to be in pots, and maybe that's what I might share with you from my garden. Okay, so because pots require a bit more care than just being in the ground, because they're dependent on you, they need more watering and looking after. So the type of plants that I grow in my pots tend to be the succulent kind that don't require much water, or they might be drought tolerant plants. So I've got ficus in one of mine. It's a very good plant to be kept in a pot, and it also likes to be root bound, so it actually does a lot better in a confined space than it would be if it was in the ground. It also might spread everywhere too. So that's one of my pot plants. Another that does way better in a pot than in the ground in my garden is hibiscus. Maybe because my garden soil structure is clay and it can be quite shallow. If you're trying to dig a hole, the plants don't like it so much because there's not much good drainage. But if it's in a pot, it's going to be drier and warmer. So my hibiscus, doing quite well in its pot. It's just on the veranda in a sunny, sheltered spot. And it's flourishing, doing so much better than it was in the ground near my house. So that's another success story for me. Another one that's good for pots, and you see them everywhere, in window boxes as well, and hanging baskets, is geranium. Geraniums are the ones with the furry leaves, and they kind of look like little, scollop-shaped leaves. And then they have lovely red or pinky flowers. Very quite a nice plant, tolerates the dry. You don't really have to water them that much. They love the sun, and they make great contrast with the bright green leaves and the orangey, reddy pink flowers, especially if you put them in, say, orangey terracotta pots. Very Mediterranean feel to it. And that's one that really does like the pots. So I recommend that one too. Another one you can try for spring bulbs, you can put in pots and they do much better in a confined space, especially like miniature daffodils or crocus. They won't get lost in the garden and you just know where they are. And when they die down, which they eventually do after their flowers have ended, then you can easily just move them away out of sight so they don't look all messy. So that's a benefit with pots, is you can move them around and you can make little arrangements. You can group them together so that you can easily water them, and you can put the large ones at the back and the smaller ones in front, make a kind of tiered looking display, which you can't really do with plants in the ground. They just need to stay there. It's a mobile display. I'll just touch on two other plants that are really good in pots, and these ones can also go indoors. So what I found in my gardening journey is that the coffee plant makes a really good indoor plant, and that is the one that you get your coffee from. Makes a lovely, grows into quite a tall tree, but if you've got the right size pot for it, it makes a wonderful feature. And if you have a big plant in a pot, that is a lot of value out of that, because it lasts a long time and give you that structure you need. If you want to decorate a large space, the plants in the pots are the ones to go for. So coffee plant. The other one, palm tree. So indoor parlour palm, really good one. As Fab Garden Mama has said, low maintenance, great for pots. And you keep that one in the shade because your indoor area will not be too much direct sun. It'll thrive and you don't have to water it that much. It will just be fine. So those are my plants in pots for you.
I've enjoyed this potluck of a show. It won't be too long before the end of this lockdown period, so keep gardening, everyone. We're going to leave you with Crosby, Stills and Nash. If you can't be with the one you love, just love the one you're with. Happy gardening, everyone.
If you get down, step, shake, wiggle, 'cause your baby will fall like a wiggle. And there's a road in a distant cloud, and the eagle flies with the dove. And if you can't be with the one you love the one you wear. Don't you be angry, don't you be sad, don't you sit crying over good times you had. There's a girl right next to you, she just waits something to you. On your way.
find your way.
Listening, everyone, that's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page, or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week. Hey.